in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I'm going to recite the prayer that's on St. Patrick's breastplate. I cut it into three parts before the three songs because it's pretty long. So, I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim, the obedience of angels and the service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of the holy virgins, in the deeds of righteous men.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. I
arise today through the strength of the heaven, the light of the sun, radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of the sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's work to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of devils, from temptations of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and near. I summon today all these powers between me and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against crafts of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul.
Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth.
Lord of heaven and earth. Oh,
Lord of all creation. Of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy, the universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth.
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 Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. majesty. You are holy, holy.
Amen. Christ to shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come to me an abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lay down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation.
You alone are worthy of my praise. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Of my praise.
Amen.
Amen.
Good singing. You're all in the choir. Let Sharon know when she gets back. As we continue the service.
Look, there's a baby.
Oh.
Hello.
How precious. She. She's sleeping, right? That means you should be sleeping. I'll wake you up after the sermon. How's that? All right? Beautiful. Congratulations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, Dad. How are you? As we continue the service of responsive reading, I chose this purposely because we're at the end of Revelation. And the last chapter of Revelation, again, is, I mean, it's all directed to the churches and, of course, to the Jews and what's going to happen in the future. But Jesus brings us back to what do we do in the meantime. And here's what we're supposed to do until the Lord comes back again. So, Chip, would you lead us?
Just read with me, brothers and sisters. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So the last verses in the Gospel of Matthew begin with the 11, Judas being dead, of course, meeting Jesus in Galilee, where he told Mary and Mary Magdalene to have them meet him there, have him meet him. They saw him on the road after witnessing the angel rolling back the stone on Jesus' tomb. Jesus laid down his authority over heaven and earth, meaning Christ's authority enveloped the entire universe. Then he gave them all the great commissioning: make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything I have told you. He said to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, naming the Trinity and reinforcing the doctrine of the Trinity. Men, women, rich, poor, Gentile, Jew, his teachings were for all. This is a compact version of the resurrection and the events after. The timeline, if compared to the other Gospels, is after Jesus had met with them several times and after Thomas had declared Jesus his Lord and God. People probably met Jesus' return with logical hesitancy until they were convinced by the facts. Everybody's human. So Matthew ended then with reassuring and empowering words that Jesus will be with them forever. Christ with us, Emmanuel.
May God bless the reading of his word. As we get ready to wait on you for the offering, I'll ask a couple of people to come up, help out with that. It's been a really incredible week as far as looking what's happening to us, you know, around the world and just in our community. Last week we prayed for the family of the officer that was killed in Newark. Now I'm reading that an off-duty officer in Wildwood was attacked by a gang of teens. I don't know what his condition is at this point in time, but this is just a reflection of some real bad symptoms going on in the culture. If there's any relevance for that Great Commission that was just read, our world is full of hurting people. They need to know Jesus. The parents need to know Jesus. The children need to know Jesus. And we're not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples. That means coming alongside of them and teaching them how to walk with Christ, teaching them all that Christ taught us through his word, and watching them grow little bit, step by step, by faith. And that's what we give to. We give to doing that. Personally, I'm praying for a revival in our country. I'm praying for a revival in our churches. Because, forgive me, but the church in North America has been dead for a long time. And Christ has been trying to get our attention for a long, long time. So as we give, let's give with expectancy. Let's keep on praying to the Lord for revival. And just so, I know some of you know who Kay Arthur is. Kay Arthur has been a Bible teacher for years, both she and her husband, now her son. In fact, she's been one of the pioneers for how to interpret Scripture rightly and glean from Scripture. And she's in her 90s now, and I just got word she's on hospice. So we'll pray that Kay's transition is seamless from this earth to glory. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, my prayer is simple today. We pray still for the family of the police officer who was killed by a teen. How tragic it is, Father, for this man to not go home. And yet, Father, how tragic it is that a teen should come to this point to take a human life. We think of the police officer that was hurt by a gang of teenagers in Atlanta, in Cape May, Wildwood. Father, we pray his injuries aren't serious. But Father, something needs to happen here. Help, Father, if you see fit, to send a spiritual revival to this country. But Father, I pray you wake up your churches. Help us to be in the business of the Great Commission, of inviting people to know Christ, teaching them. Father, I also pray for Kay Arthur and her family. It appears, Father, that she's going to be in glory before too long. So we ask that as your servant says goodbye to this life on earth, that Jesus would welcome her with open arms, as I know he would. And may that be a comfort to the family as Kay hears the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so, Father, we lift these things up before you. We wait upon people, the church, for an offering, Father. Help us to use it for your glory, for your honor. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. So we'll wait upon you for the offering. And as they wait upon you, if you want to, if you have your Bibles or you have your phones, would you open to Revelation chapter 22, last chapter of Revelation? Revelation 22, the last chapter, starting from verse 6 right through 21, most theologians, including myself, would say this is the epilogue. You know what an epilogue is? An epilogue is the author's last say about the book, okay? The reason why he or she wrote the book, some of the truths to take away from the book, and there's a lot here in this epilogue that we can learn from. And as we conclude this today, the one thing I want you to realize, by the promise of Revelation, both in the beginning and at the end of the book, and you're going to read it again here, because you have read the book, heard it read, and have been looking at it very deeply, you've been blessed. You've been blessed. That's what the book promises. Blessed are those who hear these words. But we leave out the last part and put the words into action. But hearing it and being a part of it, you've been blessed. I've been blessed. We've learned a lot. Some of you may come away a little bit frustrated saying, but we still don't know the exact date Jesus is coming. It doesn't matter, does it? What matters is that we're ready. That's exactly all that matters. He's going to come back again. We know that. Only God knows the time. We know the place, but only God knows the time. So let's go into this, and we'll look at this epilogue and see what we can glean from it. It's powerful. It's good. And there are truths in this epilogue that every born-again believer ought to apply to their lives as we look forward to the second coming of Christ. Now, look at verse 6 with me. John and the angel are having a conversation because the vision is wrapping up now, right? This all happened in one day, by the way, from Revelation chapter 1 to 22. Can you imagine his vision? John was 90 years old, the apostle, when he got this. He must have been super exhausted by this point, by all that he saw and, you know, trying to take it in, trying to process it, trying to write it down. I mean, this guy earned his pay, even though he got paid nothing. But he was blessed. The angel said to John, these words, what's the next word, are what? Trustworthy and true. In modern language, it means what you read in Revelation, for that matter, for the what you read in the rest of the Bible, is trustworthy and true. You can bank on it. God means what he says. Although sometimes we don't treat him like that, do we? We read his word and we kind of pick and choose what we like and what we don't like. No, God means what he says. These words are trustworthy and true. If you're here today and you don't believe that Jesus is going to come back again, then I'm sorry. Because he will, whether you're ready or not. And I just hope we're ready. I hope we're ready. Says the Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants things that must soon take place. You know, in the political world, you know, many politicians will say, you know, they're being transparent. Most aren't. But they'll say they're trying to be transparent. I want to suggest to you, there's nobody more transparent than God. We have 66 books in the Bible by which he goes into detail about who he is, about his holiness, about his love, his righteousness, his grace, and his mercy. Excuse me. Not only that, he puts in detail, though not every detail, but more detail than we can probably handle if we're honest with ourselves, where humanity is going. And that the culmination of all that is on this earth will culminate when Jesus Christ comes back again. How much more transparent can you be? Not only transparent, but throughout the book, not only Revelation, but throughout the Bible, there's invitations. Come, repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to me in faith. Boy, that a holy God would think that much of a sinner like me, a sinner like you. And he goes on to say, now bear in mind this is a conversation between an angel and John, but now we have a word from Jesus, from Christ. He interrupts the conversation. If there's anybody that's allowed to interrupt the conversation, it's Christ. And he reinforces what's being said. He says, look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who what? Keeps the words of the prophecy written in the scroll. Wow. That's how we're going to be ready. If by faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I keep the words of the scripture. And then the conversation continues. I, John, the apostle, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen, when I had heard and seen them, I fell down at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. Big mistake. You say, well, what's wrong with that, Pastor? Well, there's plenty wrong with it. I think John was so caught up in this whole vision and all, he just kind of reacted. But throughout Scripture, we're told not to worship angels. That there's only three who are worthy of worship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But John, in his response, he just fell down. I probably would have done the same thing. You know, having seen this revelation, been exhausted by what I've seen. But the angel said to John, don't do that. And I love this. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with you all who what? Keep the words of this scroll. And then he ends with an explanation. Worship God. That's why you and I are here today. Worship God. At least that ought to be why you and I are here today, right? Seems pretty simple so far, right? By the way, when I tell you about the break-ins by Christ, they're all written in the Greek language, which has a tense called the imperative present. Imperative means it's absolutely important. Present means you do it and you keep on doing it. It's a command. It's a command, right? And here he goes. Then he told me, do not seal up these words of the prophecy of the scroll, because the time is near. If you remember, this letter was supposed to be distributed to how many churches? Seven. Right in the beginning of Revelation, right? Jesus says, write what I tell you, write what you see. And I want this letter circulated to the seven churches in Asia, Asia Minor, Turkey. John's doing that. If there's anything you get out of today, don't avoid reading Revelation. Don't avoid reading the Old Testament. Don't avoid reading the prophets. And certainly don't avoid reading the Gospels, because they all tie in together. Do not seal up the words. Let me give you something to think about. We're going to do this, I think, When I start teaching in Thessalonians after Easter, I'm going to do a preaching series. Part of that series, we're going to look at common aspects of revival, biblical revival. And I'll give you just a brief outline. The three aspects of biblical revival are simple. True revival always comes when there's public reading of the word. Did you get that? Public reading of the word. It comes when there's worship. Worship God. And it comes with much prayer. Those are three essentials for revival. And God seems to honor that. And in the American church tends to be very weak in all of those. It's time we recover that. In verse 11, let me just catch up in my Bible here. In verse 11, the angel says, "Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy." And what the angel is trying to impress on John here, even as an old man, look, this is not going to be an easy journey. There are going to be people who refuse to hear the truth. And they're going to continue just as they are. Pray for them. You can try talking with them. But you know, you can't argue anybody into the kingdom of God. It's got to start with prayer. I would add fasting to that. We'll talk about that next week. It says, let the one who does right continue to do right. Well, that ought to be us. That ought to be the born-again believers. And we're not to grow weary of doing right. Doing right according to who? According to what the Word of God says. Let the holy person continue to be holy. You know, following Christ, it is not particularly popular. I'm not telling you anything new. But we're called to continue to follow Christ and do what's right in His eyes, not our eyes, as a testimony to the world. And he goes on. Says, oh, Jesus interrupts again. Look, behold. Again, this is written in the imperative present. I am coming when? Soon. My reward is with me. I will give to each person according to what they have done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Here's what Jesus is saying here. He says, look, second time, when anything in the Bible that's repeated is important. I'm coming soon. And I'm bringing my reward with me, Jesus says. Well, what's the reward? The reward is simple. The reward is that all born-again believers are going to be judged for what we have done with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we lose our salvation. That's secure in Christ. But we will be held accountable for what we do with the gospel. Have we shared the gospel with others? Well, you know, have we stepped out of our comfort zone and just invited people to come to know Christ, inviting them to church? What's the worst they can do? No. So what? The invitation's there. Now the ball is in their court. I will give to each person according to what they have done. Pastors, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, music leaders, anyone who leads services are going to be held doubly accountable, because we're going to have to answer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for how we handle the gospel to our congregations. And then you and the congregation will be accountable to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for what happens when you step out of that door into the mission field. There's no getting away from the Great Commission. It continues. Blessed, Jesus still talking. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life. Remember the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? It's back. It's back. That they may go through the gates into the city. And the city is the holy city that descended from heaven, Jerusalem. And we talked about that last week. But blessed are those whose robe washed their robes. How did our robes get washed? The moment we received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, our robes were washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they're white, pure. And God clothed us with the righteousness of Christ, which gives us the right now to paradise restored, where the tree of life now is in the heavenly city that came down, that we may go through the gates and worship our God. And not only that, now we're free to eat from the tree of life. Now we're free because there's no more sin. We won't even have a desire or a sinful thought. Can you imagine that? I can't. I mean, you know, our sin nature is so ingrained in us, I can't imagine it, but it's true. And then he goes on to say, outside are the dogs, and he's talking about present day. Outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, this is Christ talking, the sexually immoral, a lot of that, even in the church, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves to practice or loves and practices falsehood. The key word is practices. These are people who sin high-handedly without any conviction at all. And Jesus is saying, look, the only way of hope for people like this is for them to repent and trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Magic arts, boy, prevalent today. Sexual immorality. I can't even look at normal television because everything's sold by sex. Isn't that true? Everything's sold by sex now, right? Caleb doesn't even probably remember, but he was over one time. We were looking at television. He used to like the cartoons and all. And a commercial came on and he looked at me and said, Pop-Up, we probably shouldn't look at this. I said, you're right. We probably shouldn't look at this. The murderers, the idolaters. And these idolaters are not people who worship statues. These idolaters who worship anything above God. Could be money. Could be the house. Could be the car. It could be a lot of things, right? Anything that gets in the way of our worship with God. Anyone who loves and practices falsehoods, right? And then Christ goes on. I, Jesus, I love this. Because at the end of the book, there's no mistake about who really authored the book through John. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to you to give you this testimony for who? The churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright morning star. Listen, all Jesus has to say is, I am. Because that's who he is. He's the great I am. Mary, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? Mary, did you know that your little baby is the great I am? The Spirit joins in now with the church, the bride. and says, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life come. Here's the invitation. Come. This is for today. This is for the churches today, and this is for the people outside those doors. Come. What do we have to lose by inviting people? Absolutely nothing. Come. You're not invited, and Jesus is. Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one. You know, there are people who are thirsty who don't even realize it. Right? They need something. They just don't know what it is yet. And of course, they try everything else. But at some point, they have to say there's something more. And his name is Jesus. Invitation upon invitation. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this scroll. This is a strict warning, by the way, and it's found three other times in the Bible. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. In other words, you better not play around with the word of God and try to make sugarcoat it or add words to it that God never intended it. And the opposite is true, by the way. He says, if anyone takes away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away that person from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. God means what he says. And he says what he means. The question is, do we believe him? That's the question. And do we act on faith? He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Now, here's our response, or what ought to be our response. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Have you heard that word before? Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let it be. Let it be. Yes, I am coming. Come, Lord Jesus. You look at any of the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament authors, the New Testament gospel writers, the letters of the New Testament, and Revelation. Every one of them lived with the expectation that Jesus was coming back soon. Every one of them. And every one of them knew that we needed to be ready and be found obedient to what he has told us to do. So we come back to the Great Commission. Go into your world. Make disciples. Teaching them all that Jesus has taught you and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One of my selfish prayers has been that the Lord come back in my lifetime. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but I know he's going to come back. But there's another selfish prayer I pray, and that is that God would grant to me to see revival in the churches in America and to see our country realize that God is real. And that there is only one God. There is only one Son of God. And there is only one Holy Spirit, but they are three in one. And that we as a church would be able to say, Lord Jesus, come. This is what we need to be doing. I'm going to ask Chip, you up to coming up, and Melissa to come forward. Next week, we're going to look at the prophet Joel in the context of what Lent ought to be. I think you'll enjoy it. Andrew, you want to cue up the next song? I chose this very specifically. In the Bible, Corinthians tells us through Paul, all the promises of God are yes in Christ. Did you get that? All the promises of God are yes in Christ. That's a great promise. So I'm going to ask you to sing about the promises of God. Would you stand, please?
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains fall down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains fall down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
You You're all hired for choir. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray you bless each one here. And for those who aren't able to make it, Father, we pray blessing on them also. Father, as we conclude this service and just take care of some business, would you grant us wisdom, and we'll give all glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Hey, amen.
All right. You may be seated.